have much power in voting. We don't have the power to take your guns from you. But from their vantage point, they purely just want to grow up. So it's pretty much almost begging. Like, could you please stop? I want to grow up. I want to see what my future looks like and what it holds for me. And you can feel it.
And Daryl, in the remaining time that we have for this segment, I definitely want people to know that Cincinnati's not finished. Divide 9 and National Council of Negro Women, League of Women Voters, all of our partners, amazing groups that were there, they're not finished. There's going to be more programming done throughout this voting season. Denise, how do people find out about what else is happening? And we'll, of course, be there next year. But tell people what else is happening this year and how they can find out more and attend some of these amazing events coming up.
Yes, Barbara. So as you said, the I'll Rise and Vote activation was definitely a catalyst to what's to come. You know, definitely a memorable and engaging experience for this community. So now it's definitely opened up our floodgates as to what communities we target. We will be considering all of the organizations that we have interacted with this past Saturday. But beyond that, what's on our blueprint coming up is we will be canvassing in specific neighborhoods beginning this Saturday and every Saturday leading up to election. We also are doing the phone banking and ensuring that all people are registered all the way up until October 7th. October 7th is the last day to register to vote in Ohio, and we will be on the phone and out in the streets trying to get people encouraged and engaged to make sure that they are registered and ready to vote, as well as creating those voting plans. That is so important. And like I said, along with the canvassing, we're also going to have the voter guides. They will be published here in the next week or so, and we will be doing a mass distribution in the community and, you know, making sure we get the Divide 9 organizations out and pushing that content out in numbers to make sure people know about each candidate and what they need to do and to add that to their voting plan, because a plan is very important.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you so much, Jamise McClinton, the Cincinnati president of the National Coalition, National Panhellenic Coalition. Thank you so much, Jamise, for your time. Thank you so much for
everything.
All that you're doing. How do people reach you if they want to reach you? And then we know you're going to clear the line for our next caller. Jamise, how do the people reach you?
Yes, just quickly, of course, Jamise McClinton, the president of National Panhellenic Council of Greater Cincinnati. You can reach us at CincyMPAC@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Facebook under Cincinnati MPHC, as well as Instagram, which is GCMPHC. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Many blessings, and we'll keep talking and keep working together. God bless you. Take care.
Thank you, guys. You too. Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. You can tell that we are outside. We are broadcasting to you today from New York City. Yes, TJC is on the move always. We want to give a big shout out to the people in Milwaukee who are having a concert to get out the vote today, to this evening at the Turner Hall. I want to give a big shout out to Wisconsin Voices, to Mika Vukovic, and all those amazing people in Milwaukee who are making sure that people are going to turn out to vote for Wisconsin. We want to give a big shout out for Thursday in Chicago. There's going to be a votercade that's coming up. We want you to know about that. Yes, it's going to be from the Rainbow Push headquarters at 11 o'clock. Meet us there, because we're going to the Board of Elections and open up early voting for the state and for the city. We're also going to be, as you heard, in Pittsburgh, but we'll come back to that because, Daryl, we want to introduce the next segment of our show, right? I'm going to let you do that, sir.
Absolutely, Barbara. You know, it's always interesting when we read and we come across these stories that you're like, you know, what is this? This can't be accurate. Well, you know, the story that we've come across, Barbara, is an African-American swim team member out of Gettysburg College. And that's a predominantly white institution. What is it, 70% white and a little less than 5% African-American? Well, this, you know, young black kid that was part of the swim team went to a party with a friend, you know, those quotation marks, right? Friend. And while he's at that party, something weird happens, and somehow he ends up having the N-word carved across his chest with what we believe is a box cutter, as the stories go. But Barbara, then after that, both he and the white kid that did it to him are suspended from the swim team. The school does some type of number where the university, Gettysburg College, convinces the police department to not prosecute the assailant, but to allow them to handle it internally. And now the university has no idea, the students at the university have no idea what's going on, how it's being resolved. We know that it was a swim team type party, and that were some upperclassmen that actually turned them in, which is how it all became exposed with what has happened. The black swimmer's family has been contacted. They've contacted the local NAACP to help them handling this case. But, Barbara, this has the campus on edge. It's taken over all over national news quietly because, as we know, the major networks are not covering this because most people haven't heard about it. So, Barbara, being what Igniting Change does, we went out and we've got our professionals to cover this thing, to talk about what's happening, what does it mean, why isn't the prosecutor's office taking over this case, why is the police department yielded to the university, why is the university not prosecuted, how did both of these, the victim and the assailant, get kicked off the swim team for this? This is what we're here to talk about, Barbara, and we have some great guests to bring it up. We have with us Michaela Myers. Michaela is a 2024 TJC alumni. She's also a student at the Community College in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. She's a civic leader. She's a youth commissioner for the city of Philadelphia, vice president of the Pennsylvania State Conference of the NAACP Youth in College Division. Michaela, you're there. Hello.
Hi, yes, I'm there. Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited to be on the Igniting Change show. How are you all?
Wonderful. It's always great to hear your voice, Michaela. Come on now. You're showing people about the leadership of amazing people out of the Community College of Philadelphia, right? So, want you to listen to her voice because she is the voice of the present and the voice of the future. She's amazing. Let's get ready. All right, Daryl, our next guest.
Oh, and we also have Jaden Donald. Jaden is a graduate of Bowling Green State University in Ohio. He hosted the Bowling Green State University Votes with Representative Dontavious Gerrals, who is a member of Congress out of Ohio. He's a former Midwestern Assistant Regional Vice President of our fraternity, Alpha Phi Alpha Incorporated. He also is an Achievement Scholar at Ronald McNair Achievement Scholar and a Financial Analyst now with Amazon World Stores. And a TJC alumni, Jaden, welcome to Igniting Change.
Hey, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here with you all. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for joining us. Come on. We're so glad you're here. All right, Daryl, bring on our next guest. We got two more.
All right, Barbara. You know, we also, and we're really honored to have both of these guests, but we're also honored to have with us Attorney Harold Pryor. Attorney Pryor is the Broward County, Florida state's attorney. He was just reelected. He's unopposed on that reelection effort. He leads a staff of 462 employees, 213 prosecutors. He is the first state's attorney, first black state's attorney in Broward County, the only black elected prosecutor in the state of Florida, and the only black male prosecutor ever elected in the state of Florida. He's the past president of the T.J. Reddick Bar Association, which is a Broward County's Black Bar Association. So welcome on your maiden voyage, Attorney Pryor.
Hey, hello, how are you doing? Thank you for having me.
Great to have you here.
Yes.
And Barbara, our last panelist, and I hope that she's on. Come on, you want to bring the last one up, Barbara?
Oh, now, wait a minute, folks. You know, he's giving me the best. Oh, we got so many great people on this show. Now, you know we cannot talk about you doing this kind of hate crime to a black person for no good reason other than that they were black. And there may be, folks, some LGBTQIA bias here, too, because there's, but we'll talk about that. But I want to focus on our next guest. Her name is Dr. Joanne Frederick. She is the Associate Professor of Counseling at George Mason University. Every year when we do our trainings, she comes in because she specializes in anxiety, depression, relationship issues, terminal illnesses, and learning disabilities. She is the author of Copiology, Helping People Deal with Lost Grief, Managing Survivor's Guilt, and the Power of Prayer. She's been counseling folks for 30 years as a university professor, private practice. She's co-founder and executive director of a nonprofit that offers free to low-cost counseling services to the disadvantaged community. She is amazing. Please, everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome Dr. Joanne Frederick. Thank you.
Wow, thank you. Thank you, Daryl and Barbara, for having me here today. Oh, appreciate it.
Oh, we are so glad to have you back on the show. You know, your insights will be invaluable as we talk about this subject. Come on, Daryl, kick us off.
All right, yeah, so yeah, let's jump into this. And so I want to start with you, Jaden, because, you know, this is a young black male college student that's attending a predominantly white institution, as were you prior to your graduation last year. Could you share with our audience your reaction when you heard about this incident at Gettysburg College, Jaden?
Absolutely. I mean, to start, I was petrified, confused. There was concern. Just to think that there are incidences like this occurring in 2024, especially with the climate of how the U.S. is today, I mean, it's appalling. And I was actually a member of my high school swim team. So I've been in an environment such like this before, especially having been to a predominantly white institution. There's oftentimes I'm the only person of color in an entire space. And so to think that this happened to somebody so recently, it's just appalling, it's traumatic, and it sparks a lot of feelings of confusion and concern of how could this even happen, you know, in this modern day. And to see the way that the university is handling it, it just makes me even more concerned.
And Michaela, how about you? What was your reaction when you read these stories about what happened and how Gettysburg College dealt with it?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So when I heard about the incident, I want to say I was, but I am like deeply saddened and outraged. As a youth leader within the NAACP, right, under Pennsylvania serving the college students, it was a reminder that despite our progress, racism remains a pervasive issue, especially in educational institutions. Gettysburg College, a place where students should feel safe to learn and grow, became a site for racial hostility. This incident where, you know, the N-word was carved into this man's chest is not just an attack on one individual, but an affront to black students, faculty, staff. It shows that the vestiges of hate and systemic racism still run deep in our society, and it reinforces the necessity of organizations like NAACP, like TJC, where we fight tirelessly for racial justice and equality. So I've never heard of like a situation like this here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. But Pennsylvania being such a large state, and it being a swing state, so us having as much liberal, citizens as much as we have white supremacist citizens, this is just, honestly, it was awakening in the worst way.
Wow. And, you know, Barbara, we know that Gettysburg College is is supposed to be a progressive liberal arts, very liberal type of college with regards to you know, its students and everything else and its faculty. But Attorney Pryor, you know, one of the things that jumped out at me as a former prosecutor and current defense attorney is that this never made it to the prosecutor's desk. It never was fully investigated by the police department, that the school was really convinced the police department to shut off its investigation and let the school handle this internally. Now, I mean, can you share with us? I mean, you're a local prosecutor. You've been there. You know the importance of the prosecutor. It just seems like something's amiss with this to me. What is your